Would you stand to your feet with me? I want to share with you today from Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through verse 48. I'm going to do a little bit extensive reading today. I don't usually read this much. I usually try to keep it shorter. But we need to hear the word. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through verse 48, New Living Translation. And it says this: That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they walked along. They were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began to walk with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man of Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him." I want you to hear these next three words very close. "We had hoped." We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at the tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scripture. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time they were nearing Emmaus, the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on. But they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it's getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who were gathered with them, who said the Lord was really risen. He appeared to Peter. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. And he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It also was written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sin for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things." I want to share with you this morning, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, on this thought today. When hope fades, look closer. When hope fades, look closer. God, let this word come real into our spirit today. Let our eyes be opened that we might declare and that we might decree the word of the Lord, not just in this moment, but in time to come, as it is revealed in our spirit and it is revealed in our heart. God, may your will be performed today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you this morning. I want to start this message this morning by saying this. God wants us to see Jesus. Please let that statement sink into your spirit. God wants us to see Jesus. You say, well, I know Jesus. That's what everybody thinks. So often you hear people say, well, I know Jesus, and many people really think and believe that they do. But in this text, it teaches us that you can be near Jesus and never even know he's among you. You can be near him and never even know he was there. You can actually be in his presence and not be able to see him. And that sounds a little strange to us. It sounds a little different to us, but it is a reality. But what we desperately need in this moment, and I want you to hear me, what we desperately need in this moment of time, especially in the church, it's not just a revelation about what he is doing in our life. It's not just a revelation about what he is doing in this church. It's not just another prophetic word about what he is doing in the region where we are. We need to see Jesus. God wants us to see Jesus. You see, we have tried long enough to fulfill our God-given assignment without a revelation of who Jesus really is. Amen. We have tried too often to fulfill what he has put in our hearts without a real revelation of who he is in our life. But as I heard Kevin Wallace say it, he said this. He said, you have no fire in your belly until you have seen the fire in his eyes. You have no fire in your spirit until you have heard the voice of many waters. I want to declare to this house this morning, and I want you to hear it very well, we need Jesus again. Can I say this to you? America needs Jesus again. Can I tell you, the world needs Jesus again. Amen. We need Jesus. America needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus. You see, seemingly in the time we're living in, we're finding everything else, but are we finding Jesus? But if we need Jesus and America needs Jesus and the world needs Jesus, how shall they know him unless we preach him? How shall they know him unless we declare him? Now I want to take us back for a moment to the scripture earlier. Two of Jesus' disciples were walking on their way to the village called Emmaus. They're talking about everything that has happened. They're talking about what their feelings are, their struggles. They're talking about the arrest, the horrible crucifixion, the crazy story that Jesus had risen again. They're talking about all of these things that are going on, and we are told that as they're talking and they're discussing these things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. While they're discussing these things, while they're distraught, while they're still thinking about the arrest, while they're still thinking about the crucifixion, while they're still doubting and wondering, did Jesus really get up from the grave? Jesus appears before them. And I just want to pause here for a minute and say to you, this is a perfect picture of the grace of God in action. This is a perfect picture of the grace of God in action. In their most distraught moment, Jesus shows up. When they least expect him, Jesus shows up. Even in the midst of, can I tell you, even in the midst of our doubts, in the midst of our unbelief, Jesus comes and walks with us. He will come and talk with us. Even when we are in a place of doubt, even when we're walking in a place of fear, and we're walking in places that we do not understand in our life, Jesus will come to us. We are told that even the ability to believe is a gift of God. Listen to this. Even the gift to believe in Jesus Christ or to believe in God is a gift from the Lord, lest anybody else should be able to boast. And we see it right here revealed to us. Not only does Jesus Christ die so that through faith we can live, but he even provides faith for us to believe. He didn't just die that we could live again, but he gives us faith also that we could believe in him in every place. He is a good God. He is a loving God. He is a wonderful God. And we need to be reminded of that sometimes. Sometimes I think we forget how good he is. Sometimes I think we forget how much he loves us. Sometimes I think we can't forget just how much he really cares about us. But let me go back to a question here. How many times do we reject the free gift of faith? How many times do we reject the free gift of faith? And I want to just tell you, we really are without excuse. We have no excuses when it concerns faith. Because he's told us how we can believe. He's given us the ability to believe. But notice again here, Jesus is walking along with these two disciples, and they do not even recognize him. It goes back to something I said a moment ago. You can be standing next to him and not even know he's there. You can be in his presence and not even realize he's there. You can be where he is and not even recognize he's there. They're walking with Jesus. They do not recognize, and he asks them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" And they begin to tell him about the arrest. They begin to tell him about the crucifixion. They begin to tell him about the resurrection. And I want you to notice something they said here that was very important. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. You remember I pointed those words out to you earlier. They said, "We had hoped he was the Messiah. We had hoped he was the one that was going to deliver Israel." But the key word there was "we had hoped." There is so much in these three words. Some have said that the most heartbreaking words in the entire Bible are "we had hoped." Some have said that's the most heartbreaking words found in Scripture. Why would that be? Because they speak of a future that is not to be. They speak of a dream that created energy and enthusiasm but did not ever come to pass. They speak of a promise that proved to be false. When you say, "We had hope," what it actually means is we don't have it anymore. Those three words speak of a future that is now closed off. It is now irrelevant. It speaks of a future that is now dead. Why? Because you don't have hope anymore. I want to stop right here and say this. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But as long as there's hope, there's a future. As long as there's hope, you got a reason to live. As long as there's hope, and can I just stop and tell you, as long as God is on the throne and Jesus is on the right hand of the Father and the Spirit of God is moving throughout this earth, there is hope. Amen. But listen, those words speak of a now dead future when you say "we had hoped." But can I tell you, no one wants a dead future. No one wants to feel like they're going nowhere. It has been said that some of the saddest words ever written were this: "For sale, baby shoes never used." I want you to think about that. Some of the saddest words ever written outside of Scripture, where we said here we had hope. But some of the saddest words that ever been written: "For sale, baby shoes never used." It's not just the tragedy of what happened that hurts, but it's also the gaping hole of all that could have happened but won't happen because of a tragic situation. I want you to hear me this morning. They said, "We had hoped." They tell Jesus, "We had hoped." And that's the point here today. They don't have hope anymore. They're not believing anymore. And can I just stop and tell somebody, when you don't hope, it's pretty hard to muster up any enthusiasm because you can't bear to be disappointed again. And when we don't have hope, life's full of disappointments. Amen? When you live a life without hope, life is full of disappointments. Cleopas and the other disciple had heard that Jesus had risen, and they just could not take it anymore. For some reason, they're struggling with the idea that Jesus got up, even though he told them he would, even though he said he would, even though he said it was coming, even though he said it was going to happen. They're struggling with the idea that Jesus got up. And I want to just tell you this. They can't seem to take it anymore. Why? Because hopeful people do not leave town. They felt like Jesus had left them. And I believe in that moment, they felt like Jesus had failed them. But the reality was, Jesus did not leave them. Jesus did not fail them. So in that moment, Jesus says to them, wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before he entered his glory? Revealing right there in front of them, wasn't clearly made that he would have to suffer these things, but he was also trying to help them understand that he promised a resurrection. But let me go back for a moment. The entire Bible is about hope in the midst of despair. Amen. When you read throughout Scripture, all throughout Scripture, we find places of hope in the midst of despair. The entire Bible ultimately points to the resurrection, the reconciled relationship between God and man, a future when there seems there is no future, love and light in a world of darkness and fear. The revival reveals these things to us. And yes, all Scripture, all the Scriptures point to Jesus. You ever stopped and thought about that? All Scripture points to Jesus. He is the culmination of all things. He is God. He is love. He is salvation. He is hope. And we are told that when, listen, he is the hope now, but he was their hope then, even though they could not realize it. I want to stop and say this to somebody in this room and somebody who's listening to me online. Maybe you've given up on life. Maybe you've given up on hope. Maybe you feel like there's nothing left for you. But I want to just stop and tell you, Jesus is love. He is mercy. But yet he is the hope of God in your life. And I'm going to say it again. As long as Jesus is alive and well, there is hope in every situation, in every circumstance, in everything that you face in your life. As long as Jesus is alive and well, you have no reason to give up, but you have every reason to live. Amen. Now we're told that when Jesus and the disciples, listen, let's go back. We're told when Jesus and the disciples get to Emmaus, Jesus asked as if, or acted as if he was going on, but they begged him, stay the night with us since it's getting late. So he went home with them. They ask him to stay, so he goes home. Now, let me say this to you. This is how it works. Jesus meets us where we are. Have you ever noticed that he'll meet us where we are? Sometimes we can't get to where he is, so Jesus meets us where we are. He walks with us. He tells us the truth of his resurrection, and then he leaves it up to us whether we will invite him into his life, into our life or not. He'll walk alongside us. He'll tell you about the resurrection. He'll reveal the resurrection to you. He'll reveal his love and mercy to you. He'll reveal his saving grace to you. And then he leaves it up to you whether you're going to accept him or not. Now notice, once they're inside the house, they sit down. And Jesus takes the bread. He gives thanks. He breaks it. And he begins to give it to them. And then the Bible said their eyes were opened. It was revealed unto them. They recognized him. It became clear who he was. And the moment they recognized him, the Bible said he disappeared from their sight. The moment they really began to understand what was going on, he disappeared from them. Then they asked one another, I want you to listen to this. Then they asked one another, didn't our hearts burn within us as we talked with him on the road and he explained the scripture to us? Did not our hearts burn within us? We didn't know who he was. We didn't recognize him. But as he began to open his mouth and he began to speak, did our hearts not burn inside of us? There was something about what he said. There was something about him in that moment that made our hearts burn inside of us. I want to stop and ask you, have you ever felt your heart burning within you? Have you ever felt your heart burning inside of you because of Jesus Christ? Have you ever felt your heart burning within you because of the truth of Christ, because of the truth of the Scripture, because of the presence of God? Earlier in this room, the way the Spirit of the Lord was moving, the presence that was so real, I don't see how your heart couldn't burn before the Lord. But have you ever been in that place where you felt the burning within because of the presence of God? Can I tell you, it's a truly amazing thing, and there's nothing else in the world like being in that place with God, like being in that place in his presence. Nothing else is like it. As soon as the disciples revealed the truth that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, they got up from their table and they ran back to Jerusalem. Listen. What a trip that must have been. Because think about it, it was nighttime, it was dark, and Thomas Edison had not invented the light bulb yet. And can you imagine the darkness and what they must have been going through as they're making their way back to Jerusalem? But I want you to notice with me, if you would, just because our hearts burn within us and we have good news to share does not mean the path will always be clear and the path will always be easy. God has put, he burns inside of us. He burns in our spirit, but the path is not always clear and the path is not always easy, but it's in those moments we have to trust in the Lord. Listen to me. Just because our heart's burning us doesn't mean the way's always easy. Let me tell you why. That's because we live in a world that is lost and in darkness. We live in a society that's lost and in darkness. We live in a world of broken hearts. We live in a world of people with angry hearts and angry spirits. And one of the hardest parts of being human is being broken. One of the hardest things of being human is being broken. Don't you listen to this? It's very important. Sometimes when we are human, we are broken. We don't like to accept that fact. We don't like to walk down that road. We don't like to deal with that, but it's true. I read of a mom who was troubled about her two children. One was threatening suicide. The other was experimenting with drugs. None, including the mother, were believers. But she's troubled because one's about to commit suicide. She's troubled because one's experiencing with drugs and destroying his life, but she don't even know the Lord. So in her troubles, she don't know where to turn. In her troubles, she don't know what to do. In her troubles, she don't see no way out. But can I tell you, there's only one answer in a situation like that. There's only one answer in a moment like that. They need Jesus. That mama needs Jesus. Those children need Jesus. They need hope. They need a reason to live. And I'm going to back up and just say this. How will they hear him if we don't preach him? But you got to get this morning. The only answer is Jesus. He is hope. He gives us a reason to live. But let me go back. Being human sometimes means being broken. Being human sometimes means being in a broken place. Like the disciples, it was so hard. It's so hard for many to believe the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first time they hear it, they have to experience it for themselves. It's hard for people to believe that Jesus got up. It's hard for people to believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. But you have to experience it for yourself. And I want to say this to somebody in this room. And by the amazing grace of God, Jesus will come and he will walk alongside of us on our own personal roads to Emmaus, whatever they may be. We will all at some point in time walk down our own personal roads to Emmaus. But I want to stop and say this. When Jesus comes alongside and he walks with us, we need to be able to recognize who he is and understand that it is him and know that he is with us. Why? Because as he walks with us, he will show us his saving grace. He will surround us with the Holy Spirit. He will nudge us and he will love us as only he can love us. And I want to say this to somebody listening to me online, somebody in this room today, Jesus wants to come alongside you. He wants to come alongside you. Let's get real for a minute. There's a way out of hell. Don't just get frank for a minute. There's heaven and there's hell, and there is no in between. Bottom line. We don't like to hear it. People don't even like to imagine it. But there's a heaven and there's a hell, and there is no in-between place. And when life is over here, the soul of man will live on in one or the other. So because I love you this morning, I want to say to you, your soul is going to live in heaven or in hell, one of the two. And there's a way out of hell. His name is Jesus. Have we heard it so much that we become numb to it? Have we heard it so much that it just becomes, rolls off? Have we heard it so much that it just becomes a passing thought? But there's a way out of hell. His name is Jesus. He's the only way out. There's a path to the promised land. There's a bridge to the future. There is unconditional love. And I want to say this to somebody listening to me today. Jesus loves you unconditionally. He doesn't care how broken you are. He doesn't care how wicked you've been. He doesn't care how low you've gone. He doesn't care where you've walked in life. He doesn't care what your past has been. He doesn't care the hell holes you've lived in. He doesn't care about the heaviness of your past. Jesus loves you unconditionally. And I want to remind you again, Jesus died. But on the third day he arose and he lives again. And God sent me by to remind everybody in this place, in my line, and by the grace of God through faith in him, we can live also. Jesus is alive and well, and we can live also. The Bible said we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God raised him from the dead. And you got to hear this. God promised to give new life to all who will accept his free gift of faith. If you'll accept his free gift of faith and you'll believe in Jesus Christ and believe that he died for your sin and believe he rose again and accept him as the Lord of your life, nothing we have done, nothing that's been done to us can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Stand to your feet all across this room. Nothing we have done, nothing that's been done to us, nothing about life can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Don't ask you, do you believe that? When hope fades, look a little closer. When hope fades, look a little closer. It all started with the fact that we had hope. It all started with the fact that they lost hope. And it all started with the fact that some people in this room and some people listening to me online today, you've lost hope. Oh, you're still living and you're still existing and you're still getting by. But the reality is you lost hope. But God sent me by this way today to restore that hope unto you, not by myself, but to introduce you to Jesus Christ, the one who can restore hope and peace and joy and love and mercy and grace and goodness and power and glory, all these things into your life. To give this altar call this way this day because I feel it with all of my heart. God spoke it to me right before I walked out of my office. I want everyone in this room who wants a fresh revelation of Jesus in your life, come down here right now. Everyone in this room who wants a fresh revelation of Jesus in your life, come down here right now. Everybody wants a fresh revelation. Come, hurry, 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 hurry. You want a fresh revelation of Jesus? We say, I know him. But everybody thinks that. We say, I know him, but everybody thinks that. We can be right where he is and not even know he's there. We can be in his presence and not even know he's there. God wants us to see Jesus. God wants us to see Jesus. I know this is going to sound strange, but we live in the weirdest world we've ever lived in. We live in the weirdest times we've ever lived in. We're living in the strangest days we've ever known. I want to make something very clear. Nothing else in your life is going to make sense until Jesus makes sense. Nothing else in your life is going to make sense until Jesus makes sense. So my question to you today was this. If you want a fresh revelation of who Jesus is, come. I'm going to get frank with you for a minute. You can't play with this. You can't play with this. Because if you really want to see Jesus, he's going to show you. Remember what it said in the passage? God hid him from them in the beginning. But Jesus made himself very clear. Let's go a little further. When Jesus makes himself very clear to you, he may require more of you. When Jesus opens up your eyes to who he really is, it may require more of who you become. I'm not saying that to scare anybody away, but what I'm saying to you is this. This is not just to make me feel good, Jesus. It's not just to make me happy, Jesus. But it's a relationship with Jesus. I wish I had the adequate words to say it. A relationship with Jesus that changes how we see everything, how we feel everything, how we experience everything, everything about our being. I'm going to ask you right where you are, just open up your hearts and your mind and your spirit to God. If you're in the room and you need Jesus as your personal Savior, pour your heart out to him right now. He'll come into your life. You're in the room, you need healing in your body, open up your heart right now. He'll do it in your life. I'm trying my best to go home, but I got to obey the Lord. The earlier part of this service, and I'm just being honest, I kept telling God, God, I'm open to you. I didn't know any other way how to say it. I just poured my heart out to him. But the Lord just spoke to me a moment ago. The very reason a lot of people didn't get what they needed in the earlier part of the service is because they still don't really know who Jesus is. Ken, the sad part of this is this, and somebody's got to hear me. You can serve God for many, many years. You can be in the church for many, many years and still not know who Jesus is. How can that be, Pastor? Because you never really sought him out. So many like the fantasy of who he is. So many like what he can do.